Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
This is Jamie Dean, Big Newt, and we are thrilled to have you this week. The Buffalo Bills, Newt, they were frustrating, but the table is set for them to waltz into the playoffs. Waltz in. That is such a terrible way of putting it. They've got a tough game ahead of them, Newt, and it's for all the marbles. I'm Jamie D'Amico. He's Big Chris Newton. Newt, what do you think about this past week's win? Does it make you confident?
Well, first of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't sing a birthday song for you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Jamie D. Your birthday was the other day, bro.
So, there's nothing that makes me happier than when you sing to me, buddy. I mean, I know. We've heard you sing Scrubs. We've got Happy Birthday. We've got a couple of other things. The soul. You're just oozing with the soul.
I know I can't sing it all, man. But hey, you know, it's the thought that counts. Did you do anything cool for your birthday this weekend?
Yeah, buddy. We had a big party at our house. And by the way, my birthday is, for those who don't know, is New Year's Eve. And my wife really put together just an absolute bang-up bash and made it really special. So did all my friends. It was really nice. It was really nice. And thank you for mentioning it. I appreciate it. And Happy New Year to everybody who's listening. It's 2024, if you can believe that. And with 2024 comes some great playoff expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Buffalo Bills. So a couple weeks ago, people were saying nobody wants to play this team. 2 weeks later, the Bills stumble their way against 4-win teams, don't look good doing it. Do they look like the team nobody wants to play anymore?
We're still that team. It's just we stunk it up offensively on Sunday. And I really want to dive into it, man, because Josh Allen looked bad.
He was bad.
You take away the 50-yarder to
Dalton Kincaid.
That after that, it was pretty bad. But the defense, as bad as he was, and the reason why I'm harping on him is because coming into it last week, if you listen to us, I really wanted him to go out and have a good game. Because if he would have had a good game, he would have been the talk of MVP, right?
Right.
So now you're talking about giving Lamar Jackson went out 300 yards, 4-5 touchdowns, and tore Miami butt apart. So now he's probably going to win the MVP. And if you do research, not to get on the Baltimore because they're going to get the one seed, but if you look at MVPs, they got two MVPs, right? Mm-hmm. They're all Hall of Famers. Do you know if he wins his second MVP, he will be with Kurt Warner, Brett Favre, Joe Montana, and Steve Young.
Oh, my God.
And my thing is, I'm like, is Lamar Jackson a Hall of Famer?
I don't know. It doesn't feel like it yet.
And he had a pedestrian year. That's why I'm like, you can't give him MVP. You can't. But, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say? I've always said that you can't give, even in basketball, you can't give somebody a second MVP until they win a championship. Now, maybe he'll do it this year, and if he wins it this year, all bets are off. But like I told y'all all this month, I mean, I'm not going to believe in the Baltimore until they do it, even though they're looking good right now. And they whooped Miami, which was great.
They whooped the 49ers. They look like the most physical team in the NFL and the best team in the NFL.
They do. So I'm disappointed with Josh Allen and his performance. some people are saying that now once you get Joe Brady, get what he wants to do on tape, people are able to negate some of the things we try to do. What is disappointing, once again, I just, as a former athlete, I just can't understand why we can't get Stephon Diggs more involved. I just can't understand that. 4 catches, 26 yards. Your sole job is to get that guy the ball. And it's like we do things. Oh, we do the little wide receiver screens and the little, you know, bubble plays and all that stuff. And
they're terrible plays.
I just don't understand. This dude be open. Like, and once again, and I say this all the time, my bedrock is you throw all these interceptions. And you did. I think you did throw an interception trying to get him the ball, right?
Yeah.
He did. So, I mean,
yeah.
I will be throwing all my interceptions trying to get him the ball. But if I throw an interception, you best believe he's going to have 10 catches. So, I don't get it. I'm not in the meeting room. I'm just a guy sitting eating piece of rolls on the couch watching watching the game, drinking Labatt's just like y'all. But I don't get why we can't get this guy the ball more consistently. But as good as Josh, or as bad as Josh Allen played, the defense played lights out, man. I tell you.
Well, okay. I want to back up a step because we know that criticizing the quarterback is always dangerous, right? People will go down swinging for their quarterback. We've seen it so many times. How many times did people say, you know, get off of J.P. Lossman's case, get off of Trent Edwards' case, get off of E.J. Manuel's case? You know, leave him alone. It's something else. And the argument is going to be, but the Bills had all those drops. Josh Allen wasn't that bad. His receivers were dropping the ball. To that, I will say, the Bills had 4 drops in the game. 2 of them were terrible. One of them could have gone either way, and the other was basically a drop because the ball was thrown behind his receiver.
Mm-hmm.
That would have gotten Josh to 19 out of 30 and still pedestrian. The decision-making, the ball's coming out of his hand poorly, his passes are wobbling, and he's not setting his feet. What is going on with him?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. Don't come at Newt with your pitchforks. He's being realistic, Reggie. You're being realistic, Reggie, buddy.
Not being negative Nancy, but realistic Reggie. And he played bad. He played bad, but the positive thing is we still won when he played bad.
He's played bad 6 out of the last 8 quarters. Yeah. Does that give you confidence going into the game against Miami?
I'm looking at it like he has to step up.
Okay.
So this is an opportunity. It's right there for us, right? If we win, we get the 2 seed. If we lose, we're hoping for help from Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. And we'll be, if they both win, we'll be out. And Jalen told me if we tie, we're still in. I don't know. I didn't go that far. But Jalen,
I think that's correct.
He's diving in because, you know, he's an Alabama fan and they lost last night. So he's all in with Buffalo right now. So he's looking at all kinds of scenarios for us. But, he has to come through, man. And we put ourselves, but we knew that this was going to happen, right? When we had them bad losses, you lose to the Jets, you lose to New England, you lose some of these bad games, it could come back and bite you. So he has to step up and he has to play well.
Now, the defense, you said, played lights out.
Lights out.
In the first 20 minutes of the game, they did. They had 4 turnovers. 3 of them came inside the New England 20,
mm-hmm.
but then they started giving up long drives and explosive plays later in the game.
And that's almost go ahead.
It's almost like at some point the New England offense figured it out, because I was commenting to the people I was watching the game with that early on, it looked like the Bills had 14 players on defense.
Mm-hmm.
They suffocated everything that the Patriots were doing. And later in the game, I'm like, you know what? It looks like they've only got 9 guys on the field. What's going on here?
And that's fair. I guess I'm just looking at it holistically. When you get 4 turnovers, I don't care if you do anything the rest of the game. Because if Josh Allen would have played well, that game would have been out of reach and it wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you're right. I mean, if you really looking at it quarter by quarter, we did all our hard work early on, but they did more than enough to win that game. But that's why I said it like I said. As good as they played, Zappe had three interceptions. They had a couple of fumbles where we gave Josh Allen the ball and we weren't able to do nothing. That's as bad as they played.
when you get a turnover inside your opponent's 30 and you're settling for field goals, you're letting a bad team stick around. And when you let teams stick around, they're professionals too. They've got a chance to beat you. And let's face it, New England had a chance to win that game. Buffalo's offense finally put together a drive that was just long enough to hold the ball till the end of the game.
Let me ask you something. While watching that game in real time, did you think we were going to lose? Did you think we had a chance to lose?
Yes, we had a chance to lose. Absolutely, because the Bills have lost games just like that this season.
I didn't think we were going to lose. I never got, I was just looking at Josh Allen like, you're playing like crap. And he said as such. So it ain't like I'm talking about his back. He said it. But I never thought we were going to lose. Maybe that's arrogant of me. I did not think we were going to lose.
I thought there was a chance that they were going to, but I still held out this belief that the Bills are the more talented team and they would prevail in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But they were stressing me the hell out. I tell you that, Newt.
Yeah. The only person that was stressing me out was Josh Allen. And like I said, the only reason why I was stressing me out, because I'm like, dude, go out and win the MVP, bro. This is New England. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I was like, come on. Why are you his QBR was 19.8, dude. Zappy's QBR was 26.7. His QB rank was 53. Zappy's QB rank was 47. You look like Zappy out here. And I'm like, come on. You know, and I don't know. That the only thing frustrating was him. It wasn't the team.
It was.
It wasn't the team. It was just him. And I'm not shitting. I mean, excuse me for cussing. Like, I'm not shitting on him. But my thing is, I'm only mad because you had an opportunity. That's all I'm saying. It was easy work. It's New England. They're half dead. The coach embraced McDermott like, good job, man. Like, this is it. Like, they were half dead. So I was just like, put your boot on their neck and go win the MVP. So anyway, long story short, that's the only thing that was frustrating about Sunday to me, right? Because I didn't think they were going to win. I did not. I was just like, oh, well. We just stunk it up, get past it, and get ready for Sunday night.
Well, I mean, that's kind of where I am right now. Are they ready to go? And we have to take a look at this game against the Dolphins, because the Dolphins, oh my God, you like using the term monkey stomp? Well, that's what happened to the Dolphins.
They got monkey stomped in Baltimore.
And I love how the Dolphins fans are crying right now about the Ravens running up the score with 2 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Let me set the stage here. They had their backup quarterback in. Mm-hmm. It was third and goal from the 19-yard line. Their backup quarterback threw a touchdown to their third string tight end.
Right.
And we're supposed to feel bad for them.
No, and they're just sour grapes. Once you start putting in your backups, because once again, I know you don't keep up with college, but I'm going to make the correlation here, so bear with me.
Yeah, right? I'm with you.
So you know all the bowl games this weekend, you know, Florida State, we talked about it here on the pod. Florida State didn't make it to the college playoffs, being the first Power 5 conference undefeated team not to make it. Right. So then they proceed to go in this weekend and get severely mocky stomped by Georgia. They lost 60-3. 60-3. Right. So leading up to this, Florida State legislators, congressmen, governors, all these people who don't deal in athletics spoke on it and tried to like, oh, we're going to sue the NCAA and all this stuff. And then they went out and lost by 58 to Georgia. So it doesn't help their argument, right? Now, granted, a lot of people didn't play. A lot of people are sitting out these bowl games when they're not playing for the college football playoff, right? So people sat out. But Georgia fans are telling, and once again, and I'm not tooting on Florida State. I worked at Florida State. I met my wife at Florida State. I'd have friends that I still keep in contact down here, right? I'm still in Florida now. We're leaving tomorrow. So I said here, but so I want what's well for Florida State, right? Mm-hmm. But just like I said on here, they cannot say that they didn't deserve to be in it. I understand what they're saying, all right, being the first undefeated team not to make it. But did they deserve to make the playoffs? No. And then it was proven yesterday with last night with two great games. I don't know if you watched them, but Washington beat it was Bama and Michigan and Washington and Texas. Two great games. That's what you want. And so now Washington will be playing Michigan for the national championship. But Jordan Travis, Florida State's quarterback that got hurt, he was throwing shade on the college, like, oh, I told you Bama didn't deserve to be there. Yes, the hell Bama did deserve to be there. That was a great game that went to overtime. Now, if Bama would have went out and lost by 50, then you could say that, all right? So, anyway, what I'm trying to say is going back to the original thing, and I know I'm all over the place. Please bear with me. But I really enjoyed the fact that it was two great college games this weekend or last night for the playoffs. And then so we got the championship next week, right? And so college football, you need style points. Style points matter. In the NFL, style points means nothing. So now True. it's like you got an opportunity this weekend. You got to put up a shut up. And he has to play well for us to get past Miami. Now, granted, they have a lot of injuries. That's something you got to keep in mind. Xavier Howard is going to probably be out. He left the game against Baltimore early, right? Mm-hmm. And who else? Oh, Bradley Chubb. For his ACL.
Probably going to miss all of next year, too.
Right. So the opportunity is there, dude, right? And so
Jalen Phillips is out with a torn Achilles. Right. Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
This team is ripe for being beat.
It is set up for us to win, right? So what I was saying about Baltimore, right? So when Georgia was running up the score against Florida State, winning by 60 or whatnot, they say, well, we were missing our guys. Our guys opted out. Florida State did have more guys opt out. We got guys in the – they had guys in the portal. Guys has chosen not to play because they're about to get drafted, right?
Yep.
But Georgia fans went back to Twitter and was like, dude, after we got up 40 points, those were our freshmen in there too. And so when you say run up the score, yeah, you had second, third string guys, but they had second, third string guys too. So my point was once you put in your backups, I'm still running my offense. So if you can't stop my freshman from scoring, then that's just you because I'm still going to throw the ball. I'm not going to just run up the middle and let you stop. No. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I don't agree with that. Miami, oh, they ran up the store. I mean, they put their backup quarterback in. Huntley was in there throwing touchdowns against you. That's your fault. You got to stop him. So I think that's sour grapes.
Yep.
Me personally, and I've talked – go ahead.
And lest we forget, they ran the score up against Denver, putting up 70 points.
Yeah.
And now you're upset that somebody put up 50-something on you?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
The hypocrisy, man, I tell you. But they always say, when they do it, but it's a problem when I do it. So, you know, I don't listen to that stuff. It's sour grapes to me. And like I said, as a former athlete, if you could beat me by 100, beat me by 100. I don't believe in all that stuff, man. I mean, I don't know, man. I feel like to me, we've talked about this ad nauseum. I don't want you to take it easy on me. Like, if I know you're taking it easy on me, that makes me feel even worse. Like, if we were at a fight, I would rather you just monkey stomp me than to tie your hand behind your back and you just giving me jabs. Like, at least, I know I got your all. Yeah, I got my butt kicked, but I got your all. It's even worse if you just jab me with one hand or something, or you got your, you know, a blindfold on or something. So I don't know. That's just me. I know some people get mad at that stuff, but I don't get mad at it. If you could whoop me, whoop me. And I guess I'm talking about fighting too, but even in Madden, you know what I'm saying? If you whoop me, just whoop me. If you're better than me, just whoop me. I don't care. But if you're just going to goof around with me and go for punts on second down and stuff, that ain't, nah. I feel worse doing that because now you're toying with me. You're losing. You're getting whooped and you're toying with me. So that makes it worse. So anyway.
So college football, I think they need a mercy rule of some form.
Run the clock.
What's that?
Run the clock. Like have a clock run. Like once you get up 35, then just run the clock. No, don't stop.
Well, there is a formula for coming up with rankings, and I feel like if you beat a team by more than a certain number of points, it shouldn't count.
No.
Like you get up by a certain number of points, no matter how many times you put it in the end zone, your score isn't going to increase because, you know, every once in a while you see a team in college put up 100 points on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're clearly so much physically better than the other team. Even your backups are better than that team's starters. Now you're starting to worry about kids actually getting injured because of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And we've talked about that before. When those small schools play the big schools, you got to actually worry about somebody getting hurt. You know, like, and I play, right. Once again, I'll talk about myself. I played D2 football, bro, and we went to Western Illinois, who's at that time D1 AA, and they beat us by 40-some points, man. Dudes is getting hurt, and those guys are bigger, faster, and stronger than us. I have no problem with admitting that. It was a difference. And so now you got those teams, you got mid-major teams, and they going to play Georgia and Florida State and all those guys, you got to worry about somebody getting hurt. Like, so that's why when you go, and because the small schools go to the big schools to get a check, yeah. Right? And so you just hope that nobody get hurt coming out of that. You know what I'm saying? So you're sacrificing one for the other.
Now, I'm going to bring that back to the pros in that they are evenly matched.
Right, because you're all pro. Like
the best against the worst, when you're talking starters in the NFL, they do belong on the same field together.
Yes, because they're all professionals, yes.
So if you're getting beat badly, okay, I agree that if the game is at the point where there's no coming back, both teams should be running the clock so you can get your players out of there without getting injured. Because as we saw with Bradley Chubb, you can tear an ACL on a regular play. Now, Brett, if anybody didn't see it, Bradley Chubb was chasing down the running back. Running back put a juke. It was kind of one of those start and stop plays, and his knee just gave out on him. It was a non-contact injury. You know, get your starters off the field so that sort of thing doesn't happen when the game is out of hand. Right. Now, there's another side of it, which is we got to keep our starters out there so we can stop the bleeding.
Right.
But at that point, you know, run the ball. If you're the one losing, stop passing the ball. Keep the clock running. Run it three times. Take it all the way down and punt the ball away. Just don't do anything stupid. Right. That's how the pros need to handle it, which is different than college.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
No, the Bills I agree with that.
Have a great track record against these Miami Dolphins. Since 2017, the Bills are, 11-2 against the Dolphins? The game has been flexed to Sunday night because it's the game of the week. The winner is the 2 seed.
Yes.
The incredible part about this is the Bills could go anywhere from the 2 seed in the AFC to not in the playoffs. I want to make an interesting observation here.
Okay.
Despite the fact that the Bills could end up out of the playoffs, they are still, according to Vegas, they have the third best odds of winning the Super Bowl. If you're a betting person, which I am not, how can you square those odds in your mind?
I'll put a little something on Buffalo. I mean, I do bet a little bit for funsies, nothing real, like $5 here, $10 there. But
why wouldn't you put your money on a team at this point that is guaranteed to be in the tournament as opposed to the Bills, who might not be?
Because the odds, usually the odds favor you to where you're going to hit big. The more the risk, the more the, you know, the payout. But if you're saying the Bills still got the third best odds, then I don't know. I guess everybody feel like we're going to win. We are favored.
On the road.
Yeah. So
against the team with a better record.
Yeah. A lot of people
Vegas loves our Bills, man.
They do. And what about, and I saw Sal Capaccio, he tweeted, if we win, it affects not only us this year, but it affects the schedule for next year. Can we talk about that for a sec?
Let's talk about it.
If we win, okay, then we will play the Chiefs at home, which I can't believe. I can't ever remember the Chiefs coming to Buffalo. Right. And we play them every year, and it's always in Kansas City. And so if we win, we'll get the Chiefs at home, and we will play at Baltimore and at Detroit. Okay? If we lose, we will get the Broncos or Raiders at home, and we will play the Browns and the Packers or Vikings on the road.
Well, that certainly sounds preferable for next year.
Yeah.
Lesser of the schedules.
Yeah. And then obviously we could look into going to the Baltimore game.
Right.
In Baltimore.
However, if the Bills get into the playoffs as the 7 seed, that means that they play in Kansas City again. And if they survive that game, they play in Baltimore.
You're saying if we lose and we get the 6 seed?
If we lose, we would probably end up with the 7 seed if we lose to the Dolphins.
Okay, let's say the 7 seed. Then if it's the 2nd seed, it's the 7 seed, then we'll go to Kansas City and then Baltimore. I see what you're saying. But if we win, we get the 2 seed, and we will host somebody like Cleveland.
The Bills would end up hosting the 7 seed.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a game you want, right?
Cleveland or Houston, I think.
Yep.
So I'll be all for that. So.
Yes, it's a huge difference. And then you would play the second lowest seed,
whoever's remaining after that.
Right. Which.
So you have a good path. That's why I'm saying it's still all there in front of us.
Yes.
You know.
However, Nick Wright this morning, and talk about somebody who causes people to pull out the pitchforks.
Mm-hmm. He don't like this.
No, he doesn't. But. Yeah. He was correct when he said this is such a perfect scenario for this year's Buffalo Bills that they could go anywhere from the 2 seed to out of the playoffs. And the issue that he pointed to with the Bills is they have been wildly consistent. He said any one game, the Bills can beat anyone in the NFL.
Right.
But what are the chances that they can string 4 good games together? And that got me thinking, because this version of the Buffalo Bills does not seem like a team that stacks good performances.
That's fair. No, that's fair. I guess, once again, I'm like a Florida State fan. I just want to get in.
Got it.
I just want to get in. And can we win a Super Bowl? Yes. Will we win a Super Bowl? I don't know that. Right. But I tell you, I like our defense right now. if we get the two seed, if we get the two seed, you got to come to Buffalo. I mean, I like how it's setting up. I mean, right now, do I think Josh Allen's going to string together a Super Bowl run? I wouldn't bet on it, but I would be hopeful.
I would be hopeful. And it's possible. That's the other thing. We saw a couple of years ago, the Bills looked bad in Atlanta. Josh Allen had three interceptions, and then something happened. When the playoffs came, it clicked, and they were otherworldly on offense.
Mm-hmm. You just got to be hopeful.
We've seen that it can happen.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm not going to be on here and tell you all that it's going to happen, but if we beat Miami this week, what could you ask for more than a two seed? you see what I'm saying? So
for a team that was dead in the water a month ago? Yeah.
But even in the summertime, because if we win this week, we'll be
11-5.
We'll be 11-6.
Oh yeah, 11-6.
We'll be 11-6. I said we were going to be 12-5. You said we were going to be 10-7. So we'd be really right there where we thought we was. Would be in the summertime when we didn't know. It just shook down differently than what we thought it would. But essentially, we were kind of on the nose.
Right.
Like, both of us one game off.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, if you would have told us at the beginning of the year that we would lose Tre'Davious White again, we lose Matt Milano for the year, we would use my boy that just came back. Oh, my God. He played this weekend, too. Daquan
Kingsley
Jones.
Kingsley Jonathan.
No, Daquan Jones.
I know.
But Kingsley Jonathan give us some reps, man.
Yes.
And so if you would have told us that, we would have took that every time. It just don't look like what we thought it would look like, and it doesn't look good, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I guess I'm hopeful, and that's the thing about NFL that makes it better than college. Like, that's one I like college more than NFL because I like pageantry, but NFL, you get what you get. You get what you deserve. You know what I'm saying? Like FSU, they feel cheated. Nah, if we don't win this weekend, we get what we deserve. You got to figure out a way to do it. And I think we will. Obviously, Vegas think we will. So I'm looking for – what do you think about the game being Sunday night?
I don't have any real feeling about it.
Oh, my God, I do. I wish we were playing Saturday.
Yeah.
Sunday night, you got to get up and go to work Monday. And if we win, you want to celebrate. Yeah. You know, I just wish it was Saturday and then we could just go hard. You know what I'm saying? You know, but I get the reason why we're the last game and everything else will play out. You know, we'd already know what the Steelers did and we already know what the Jacksonville did, which I'm not, if you look at those two games, I think both of them, both of those teams are going to win their games.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think everybody does. So, because I think it was what Steelers Baltimore, and we don't know if Lamar even going to play. So, unless the Steelers going to do one of our numbers, you know, oh, we got to win to get in, and they play the second string and still lose. That'd be great, but I don't think they're going to do that.
One of our numbers.
That's one of our numbers. You know, we good for that. We talk about that all the time. So,
and you know, I can't see the Ravens trying to do the Bills any favors because when it comes to the playoffs, who would you rather play? Pittsburgh with Mason Rudolph or the Bills?
Right.
And if I'm the Ravens, I'm thinking the same thing I said earlier where I was paraphrasing Nick Wright. On any one game, the Bills can beat anybody in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers, I think I can outmatch the Steelers in the playoffs.
I agree. Especially who they have at quarterback. I totally agree.
So you mentioned the name earlier, and I do want to talk a little bit about Sean McDermott and some of his coaching decisions.
Mm-hmm.
During the game, there was a coaching decision that drove me nuts. Before the game, there was a coaching decision that I loved.
And I bet you I can tell you both of those. Oh, my God. I know exactly what you're talking about. Go ahead.
I sent you that text message when the Bills at midfield called a timeout so they could punt the ball.
Yes.
And I said, Newt, what the hell is that? Mm-hmm. We've got about 2 minutes on the clock. Maybe it was a minute and a half. The Bills had two timeouts. Why not take the 5-yard penalty, punt the ball, and then start using your timeouts? You can get the ball back with about 30 seconds on the clock.
Yep.
Instead, they were playing to go into halftime. That, to me, unforgivable clock management. Yep. You're giving up. I know Josh Allen was playing terribly. The coaches knew Josh Allen was playing terribly. I still want a terrible Josh Allen rifling the ball down the field and possibly getting more points in 30 seconds.
I agree.
Especially when the Patriots had trouble moving the ball in the first half. I hated that call.
Yeah.
Now, they deactivated Von Miller for the game.
Yes.
Sean McDermott actually had the stones to bench a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
That shows guts.
Love it. You know how I feel about it. When I got that notification that he was going to be inactive, he should have been deactivated, bro. And I hate to talk about him like that. I mean, I love him just like everybody else do, but he ain't doing nothing. And there's other guys that are doing something. So I have no problem. I was happy to see AJ Epinesa back out there. I like seeing Kingsley out there. Leonard Floyd. I mean, so if you ain't doing nothing, just get out the way. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I have no problem with it. Be a leader on the sideline. Be a leader as a coach, but don't take – our roster management right now is important.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That was a big deal. Like when Daquan Jones came back, we had to rearrange some things, move some guys, practice squad and all that stuff. So I have no problem with it, man. I mean, I was happy. I'm glad, like you said, so eloquently, you know, he had the stones to do it because most people wouldn't. But me personally, man, I'm big on appearances. I don't like looking bad. I don't like being embarrassed. I know everybody isn't like that. But I'm not an NFL player, but my personality, I would have probably stepped aside knowing I'm not ready, knowing I ain't making plays. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be out there because I feel like I'm hurting the team. But everybody don't want to win, Jamie. that's the kicker. Everybody, we've talked about this. Everybody don't want to win. People say they want to win, but everybody don't want to win. Ask your boy that went to Chicago and took the money. He don't want to win. Think about Chicago getting the number one pick in the draft. I ain't seen Edmonds since the summertime when he came, or springtime when he came to talk to Jalen Team. What is he doing? He could be doing good. I don't know. I ain't watched the Bears play this year, but I haven't heard him. I ain't heard him. So now you was an all pro with us. When you win, you get honors. You was an all pro with us. Now you in Chicago, and I ain't heard your name all year. Now, if I'm wrong, matter of fact, we can look it up. But my point is,
we have the technology.
That's why I'm like, you can hit me up like, Newt, no, you wrong. He doing this, and he could be. I'm just saying, I haven't heard of it. My ears beat to the ground a little bit. I haven't heard it. You know, but you took the money. Just like we talked about that running back for the Jets. He took the money. If he would have stayed with, not the Jets, with the Steelers. He took the money, went to the Jets, and you ain't heard from him since. Dalvin Cook, you should have stayed in Minnesota. Now you third string on a sucky team. It don't make sense. People run for the money. All money ain't good money. That is a saying that has been in the African-American culture for years. All money ain't good money. Ask Russell Wilson. He took all that money in Denver. And now look at him. He got benched. His coach hates him. He going to be looking for another team. But he got paid, though. And don't get me wrong, that's to a lesser extent. He's going to still make the Hall of Fame, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, man, your success depends on your situation. And that's what mm-hmm. people think. Everybody think, and I get it, to make it another level, you got to have an ego. It's me. Oh, I can do this. No, no, it ain't. You're not that good. It's your situation. You're in the right scheme. You got a good organization with good coaches and good GMs that's going to put the right talent around you and put you in the right scheme. And that's what we see. I don't get it, but I'm a 50-year-old man. If I was 23 and made it to the league, I would probably feel like it's me too. But I digress. I apologize.
Tremaine Edmonds, 103 tackles, 4 interceptions, including a pick 6 on the air.
Wait, for this year?
Yeah.
Give me those stats again.
103 tackles, 4 interceptions.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's a good season.
Yeah. Because Terrell Bernard got 80 to 81 solo tackles, 6.5 sacks, 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
But Terrell Bernard going to probably get an honor before Edmonds.
You think?
I mean, well, Chicago's getting the number one pick in the draft. So who,
well, that's
who,
a good point.
Who off their team going to get make the Pro Bowl or All Pro?
Yeah.
You know, when you win,
you were,
the more Pro Bowls
you win. You were counting solo tackles.
Yes.
Terrell Bernard has 134 combined tackles.
Okay.
Along with 6.5 sacks and 3 INTs. He also has 3 fumble recoveries.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about a deal. You should have took, and I can't tell you what to do with your money. I will never tell people, hey, you need to be doing this with your money. You can't ever count another man's pockets. But the way this is going to probably play out, you should have just stayed in Buffalo because your career would have been better. And the money's going to come. That's when you look at, oh, I need to get this money. And I get it because anything can happen. You can get hurt. So you got to get paid when you can. But you got to think about your career and your legacy too. It's hard. So all money ain't good money. I bet you how this plays out is he should have probably stayed in Buffalo. His career probably would have been better. And like I said, you had to do with the Steelers at running back. Ain't heard from him since. If he would have stayed with the Steelers, he would have been a Hall of Famer. Also, the receiver, your boy, Antonio Brown. Tony O'Brien, when he was in Steelers, he didn't change once he left. He was crazy then. It's just we didn't hear about it because the Steelers got a great organization. Mm-hmm. Once he got on his own, we see how crazy it is, and his career went downhill, even though he got a Super Bowl, I guess. But his career went downhill. He would have, if he would have stayed with the Steelers, he would have been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
It's all situational, man. It's awesome. Look at Rasul Douglas, bro. Can we talk about him?
Yes, let's talk about him having
a game
of his life.
Yes, he did, bro. Yes, he did. 3 passes defended, 2 picks, 1 for a touchdown. I mean, oh my God. Can you imagine if Tre'Davious White come back next year, him and Tre'Davious White?
And Tre'Day is playing at the top of his game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's an impossible team to throw on, because who else you got out there? You got Christian Benford, who's been playing really well. You mean to tell me you're moving Benford into depth?
Yes.
Wow. But I don't think we're going to see Trey back. I think he gets released.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's too much of a cap hit.
Yeah.
And to have his second knee injury, I think they're going to look at it and say his body is deteriorating. It's not worth the money anymore.
Okay. So obviously you looked at this. So what would be the, like, if we release him, what would be the cap hit? Like, what would be the economics of that? You know?
Oh, now I have to look this up.
Okay. That's fine. I just thought you knew off the top of your head since you brought it up.
I got this. He has a $16.6 million cap hit in 2024. If they let him go, they will save $6.3 million. So a dead cap hit of $10 million, that's a lot, but you still save $6
million. You save $6 million.
I think they go out and try to save their $6 million.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to knock us for doing that. When we paid him, we understood. It's just that was bad luck. So I'm not going to put that on Brandon Bean. That's just bad luck. But
he's a great player. They extended him for a couple years to get some other guys on the team. After a knee, I said he had a second knee injury. It was an Achilles injury. That's not a good sign. His contract goes through 2025, so he's got 2 years left on it. And he's due a $1.5 million roster bonus on March 17th. There's no way they want to pay that.
Right. And you, like you said, Achilles, ACL, even if you do come back, are you really going to be the same guy? I mean,
an Achilles injury for an older player who plays a speed position, that's a tough one to come back from, because if you're a corner and your speed is sapped, you can't run with the Jalen Waddles of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that money could go to better places, because I tell you, man, I want to keep Rasul Douglas. I want to keep Leonard Floyd. I mean, we got some talent here. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
And fortunately, Rasul Douglas is under contract in 2024.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so the money from, you know, Von Miller and Tre'Davious, it could go to better use of other places. So
you can't get rid of Von Miller.
I know, you tell me that every week. You tell me that every week. I'm steady going to put that in the same category. So, we also got to talk about the game special teams. We gave up a kickoff return early. That's a no-no. That's a minus, right?
Yeah.
On special teams. But let's talk about our kickers, though.
Yeah, man. Sam Martin had a great game, didn't he? Sam Martin,
he's putting the ball in places. I tell you, man, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So that's one thing I can appreciate, man. Sam Martin, 289 yards punting. He averaged 48 yards, and he put him inside the 10, 20-yard line like every time, man. Inside the 26 times. All six times he punted. And then Tyler Bass, 3 for 3. And extra points, so, and field goals, 2 for 2. So our kickers are doing their job, man. So I can appreciate that and shout them out too.
And there's something about the way Sam Martin punts the ball that causes it to hit the ground and die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful thing, because so often you see a really nice punt, but then it hits the ground and it just shoots into the end zone before the coverage unit has a chance to down the ball. And it was just, the ball was bouncing the right way. And man, Saran Neal, he was just down there waiting for the ball every time.
Right.
Exactly. Underrated player.
Yes, he is. And those yards, I mean, I know people don't think that's a big deal, but those things matter, man.
Sure do.
Those things matter, so.
Well, buddy, we've got a big game coming up against the Miami Dolphins. And this could be the difference between the Bills making a deep run and getting bounced in the first round. It's
you
a
think
playoff
gonna
game.
Win? Yeah. Oh yeah. Playoffs start for us Sunday night.
Yeah.
And I love it. And the NFL likes that too. When they decide to flex games and stuff, they can ask for nothing better. I think what, 3 division titles are up for grabs.
Whew.
I think like 4 or 5 playoff spots. Like, so they, when they decide to flex these games, man, this is what they wanted. So hit us up, man. Let us know on Twitter. Guys been hitting us up, man. Stu hits us up. What up, Stu? you know, hit us up. We'll shout you out, man.
It's our boy.
And let us know what y'all think about us playing Sunday night or any other thoughts. That boy Charles Concilia, he listens to us, man. He been shouting us out on Twitter. And once again, please forgive me for branding. It's always going to be Twitter to me. I'm never going to say you're Xing me. I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to conform. I could conform to Redskins being the Commanders, but I'm not conforming to Twitter going to X. So you're tweeting. So it's always going to be tweeting to me. That's what I'm going to call it. And, yeah, so hit us up. Let us know what you think about the late Sunday night. Once again, personally, it doesn't fit into my schedule optimally because I got to get up and go back to work Monday morning. So, yeah. But I'm going to enjoy the vacation. Last bit of this wonderful weather here down in Florida. We left because, you know, we spent our holidays down in Florida anyway. I wish I could stay, but we got to go back. Simone has basketball practice. But we were on South Beach yesterday morning. We passed by Hard Rock Cafe Stadium, which is a beautiful stadium. I can't wait till we get ours up and running. But, yeah, we were down on South Beach and enjoy the weather. And we're going to head back tomorrow. And it's supposed to snow Saturday.
Wow.
In Virginia and D.C. area. So I'm not looking forward to that. But, hey. I'm looking forward to us playing Sunday night.
Here we go, buddy. It's on.
Let's go, Buffalo. Hey, 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 hey.